My guest at this time is Dr. Vance Ginn. He is a senior economist at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he also directs the Foundation's Center for Economic Prosperity. He's joined us in the past, and he's with us today to offer his reaction to President Trump's efforts to level the trade playing field, specifically when it comes to tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. And Dr. Ginn, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, last week, last Thursday to be precise, President Trump met with some of the leading executives from the nation's domestic steel and aluminum companies. And here's what he had to say that even surprised some of his own staff at the end of that meeting.
So we're going to build our steel industry back, and we're going to build our aluminum industry back. We'll be imposing tariffs on steel imports and tariffs on aluminum imports. Pretty much all of you will immediately be expanding if we give you that level playing field, if we give you that help.
What time are the tariffs, sir?
Thanks, guys.
How long
have
you been here?
Unlimited period. Unlimited.
Is it 25%, sir?
It'll be 25% for steel. It'll be 10% for aluminum.
So, Dr. Ginn, 25% tariffs on steel, 10% on aluminum. What's the impact of that on our economy? Is this a good move?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at it, but the way that I look at it is from an economic standpoint is to say if you raise the cost of doing business, that hurts business and it hurts American consumers. And whenever you look at raising steel prices and aluminum prices, those are in the cars that we drive and the buildings where we work and many other aspects of our capital throughout our economy. And I think this would be bad for Americans overall and reduce our economic potential over time, which had been boosted by the tax cuts last year and the regulatory reforms that were made. But I'd rather see those sort of things boosted instead of tariffs and other sort of trade practices such as this.
How big of a dent would it make? The Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross, has said the tariffs would probably add about $600 to $700 if you're buying a new car, for example. And then from his perspective, if you're already paying $20,000 to $30,000 for it, it's not that big of a difference. But if we're on the other hand, if we're celebrating $1,000 savings for families and tax cuts, $700 going in the opposite direction can be a pretty big deal.
You hit on what I was going to say. I mean, yes, if $1,000 is just crumbs, according to Nancy Pelosi, but a big deal, according to those that were in favor of the tax cuts, $700 is also a big deal. And that takes away a lot of those, the potential from those bonuses that they had before and income gains. I mean, at the end of the day, what we've seen over time is from trade is lower prices and an increase in the quality of living for many people. Now, there are some who lose in the process, but by making these sort of trade sort of policies and moving towards trade wars is not the positive way to go.
Dr. Ginn, one of the things that's I think inarguably true, though, is, of course, that we've got some pretty significant trade deficits. We've got China dumping steel into our market in violation of WTO protocols and so forth. So there are problems with our trade policy. So if tariffs aren't the way to level the playing field, what's a smarter way to do it?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because the proposal so far would be a global tariff on steel and aluminum. It wouldn't just hit just China.
Right.
So even if there are those issues with China, well, then let's deal with those, not necessarily make it for everyone to pay these higher costs. And look, I think at the end of the day, let's look at what we're doing here at home that's also maybe raising the cost of living and raising the cost of doing business such that China and other countries are having a competitive advantage over in the global world market. And those things, when you look at, let's look at unions. Let's look at the cost of unions and what they're doing to the cost of labor over time. Let's look at our minimum wage and what that's doing over time. And there are a number of factors, retirement pensions. There are a number of factors that are raising the cost here that are putting us at a disadvantage compared to other countries that a tariff may look good in the short term, but over long term, and I would say even in the short term, it's a bad maneuver. We saw this during the George W. Bush, you know, Bush 43 presidency as well, whenever they put steel tariffs in place in 2002. And some estimates show that cost us about 200,000 jobs. And I would hate to see more, you know, Americans not have jobs whenever we've had an expanding economy.
Dr. Ginn, break it down as to why you think we're kind of on the losing end of some of these trade relationships. You outlined some of the things that might be dragging us down in terms of pensions and union involvement and what it takes to actually create a product and ship it overseas and so forth. So how much of it is it on our end, and how much of it is countries on the other end, and China's first to come into mind, since they're the ones often being accused of not playing by the rules and so forth, but perhaps other countries as well. How much of it is us? How much of it is the trading partners we have?
Yeah, from my perspective, I think a lot of it has to do with us. And they did a great job last year, Congress did, and the Trump administration did, by cutting the corporate tax rate, the highest in 35, 21%. And of course, that helps to reduce the cost of doing business and allows us to be more competitive on a global playing field. And I think we should look at more of those things, along with the regulatory reforms. Of course, the things that China does and some of the practices that they have are not conducive for us to be as competitive as we otherwise would be. But some of those things are out of our control. And so what I think we do have control over are the policies that we put in place here in the United States that can allow us to be more competitive. I mean, look, I'm in Texas, where the ability for us to focus on freedom and free markets has allowed us to be a powerhouse where, if you, as an independent nation, we would be the 10th largest economy in the world and continue to create a lot of jobs. In fact, over the last decade, we created 26% of all new jobs that were added in the United States. And so we have kind of a model with which to move forward. Why not focus on those sort of things instead of pointing the fingers at other countries?
Do you think Trump is serious either about the policy or the size of the percentages in these tariffs? Because a lot of times with Trump, what we see is him throwing out an idea that he knows people are going to light their hair on fire over, and ultimately something a little bit more moderate ends up being pursued. So do you think this is just his opening overture, or do you think he's serious about and pretty set in his ways on these numbers?
No, I think it's a great question. And look, he's a great deal maker. And so when you want to make a good deal, you start off with your position, and then you can negotiate from there. And I think this is a very strict position. I'm not as far as the it's not very lenient. I'm not so sure that this is where he wants it to be at the end of the day, but it does put pressure on others. I mean, he's even talked to Mexico, the Mexicans and the Canadians, and said, look, if we don't get something done with NAFTA, then I'm definitely going through with these tariffs. So that puts pressure on the NAFTA renegotiation process as well. And so I'm hopeful that this is not where we'll be at the end of the day. Maybe we will get a freer trade agreement with NAFTA. I've been kind of skeptical on how those negotiations will take place, but maybe at the end of the day, Americans will be better off. We'll have lower cost of living and more opportunities to increase our quality and standard of living and prosperity.
Real quick, what's your thoughts on NAFTA? Some believe that, obviously Trump among them, that American jobs have ended up leaving the United States, and our manufacturing has taken a major hit as a result of that. Others have suggested that without NAFTA, if we were to radically renegotiate it, some of those Rust Belt states would actually find life to be much more difficult with Trump moving in that direction than where we were when he took office. What's your sense of it?
The research that I've done on NAFTA shows that we've been able to expand our economy. There are more jobs. We've had more economic growth. We didn't see the giant sucking sound, if you remember Ross Perot saying back in 1992. We just didn't see that happen. Now, with trade, there is a change in the mixture of jobs. So there will be some that are, you know, quote unquote losers in the process, like auto manufacturers, auto workers, I should say, who will lose. But I think that sometimes we give these workers not enough credit. We say, well, they lose their jobs, and so they don't have anywhere else to go. But, you know, they've gained a lot of experience and skill sets in that particular industry that allows them to do many more things. And maybe there's a role for, you know, unemployment insurance for a while as they get back on their feet. But I think putting it all on a trade agreement is not a good way to go. And, in fact, you know, whenever I look at trade, what would be a perfect trade agreement? It would be no trade barriers between the countries that are involved. And instead, we have a 1,700-page trade agreement with NAFTA. So what does that do? That picks winners and losers throughout the whole economy. And so there's a lot of ways to renegotiate to make this a more free trade agreement. I'm just a little bit concerned that that's not where we're going to go if you start picking out even more winners than losers in the process.
Dr. Ginn, as you suggested, perhaps the negotiations are underway here and we'll see something significantly different before the policy's all buttoned up. But we never know. We'll see where the negotiations go from here. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
As always, Dr. Vance Ginn is a senior economist at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, where he also directs the foundation's Center for Economic Prosperity. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.